Well, it's almost lunchtime here in the great state of New Mexico. I'm getting close to the place where I usually stop, Santa Rosa, New Mexico. It's on Interstate 40. I'm on Interstate 40 right now. And I'm talking to you. This is quasi-indefatigable Zenilith. I'm Jay Nemro. And I really don't know what I'm going to talk about right now. I really hadn't given it any thought. Usually I'll think a little bit before I jump on there. Usually I'm doing a 5 or 6-parter, and it really doesn't matter. I'll just blah, 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 and pretty soon I've got 5 or 6 different things. I talked a little bit about religion today. We've talked a little bit about anti-bias trickling today, which really kind of fell flat, I think. Talked a little bit about quits in and of itself. Let me talk a little bit about innovation. Let's do that. One of my concerns with an over-institutionalized society, which is what we're tending toward, is being over-institutionalized, is the fact that we're going to lose a lot of innovation. Innovation is mostly a single person or a small group of people coming up with something. And more we're getting away from that. We expect corporations, big companies, stuff like that to produce innovations. It's gotten to the point to where it's getting harder and harder to create new companies. You know, the bar for creating companies keeps getting raised higher and higher. It becomes more and more difficult to hire and keep employees just from a legal standpoint, how difficult it is to comply with all the laws that you have to do. To the point to where a person who innovates says, like say for instance me, I won't rise myself to the great high thing of an innovator like building a new product, for instance. I'm a creative person, and I would like to be able to sell the products of my creativity for money so that I can profit off them. I need to make some more money. I'm poor. I'd like to be less poor. You know, but I'm always up against the fact that if I'm doing something that's too far out of the mainstream, and that's Jay. Jay's out there. He's out there, out of the mainstream, nobody will want to touch it. You know, like, say, for instance, my writing. I've got writing. It's distinctive. It's different. A lot of people like it. But when it gets right down to it, no publisher will touch it because it's different. Number one, I tend to write short stories, and publishers don't like short stories. They don't sell well. A lot of people don't like short stories. They either want a novel or they want, I don't know, a magazine article, one or the other. Short fiction it's difficult to find markets for short fiction. Mine are quite religious yet unorthodox. They don't fit into an easy thing, so it's hard to figure out who to sell it to. People go, you know. I had one publisher that was very interested in one of my stories. They wanted a whole compilation, so I put together a collection, and they didn't like it. They decided they weren't going to do it, probably because I didn't answer what they thought should be religious enough. One of my stories sounds and feels very Catholic. I try to make most of my stories not Mormon. I don't like to compartmentalize myself that way and just have a Mormon audience. I want to be able to have an audience that's a little broader than that. And I've always written that way. Except for the one Catholic one. I'm not even a Catholic. I just thought it might appeal to Catholics. I had an aunt, my wife has an aunt who got the story, and she loved it. She thought it was wonderful. and she's Catholic. So at least there's one person who thinks that my little Catholic story really resonated with her. Anyway, so by golly, what was I talking about again? Oh, I always get off subject. It's hard for me to come back because I get off and I'm rolling and romping. Oh, innovation. Yes, that's right. I have a tough time because I don't have the money. I don't want to take the risk of, you know, producing it into a little book form, publishing 3,000 of them, and trying to peddle them to like independent bookstores or something like that. That doesn't. I don't want to do that. So that's why all my stuff's on the internet. Everybody can get to it. I'm not going to make money off of this because I basically give it away. But it makes it so that at least my things get out there and maybe people pay attention to it. That's what I'm hoping this quasi-indefatigable Zenilith does. There's a tenet in the gospel, Mormon theology, for people who don't like me using that term. Because I don't want to offend you. Well, yeah, I do. Feel free. The gospel. It's the truth. If you don't believe it, you know what? You haven't studied it out enough and you haven't prayed about it. How about that for honesty? Smack you upside the head. I'm right. Well, I don't know if I'm right. The gospel that I'm trying to follow is right. And if you're not, and if you don't think it's right, you're wrong. Tough. Get used to it. Okay. The gospel teaches, Jacob, who's in the Book of Mormon, he teaches that we should first do good, try to do what will build the kingdom of God, and then riches will come to us. So I'm kind of doing that, and that's part of what this quasi-indefatigable Zenilith is about, is just putting out there my stuff. And to put out there what I believe. Of course, I can't talk for days and days and days and days and days on my testimony about the gospel, about the restored gospel. The gospel is restored by Joseph Smith. It's embodied, it's institutionalized in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The only institution that I associate with happily. Because it's such an innovation, I don't really know what to do with it, so I throw it out on the internet and hope maybe somebody will pick it up. I don't know what will ultimately happen to it. I hope it changes lives. I hope it makes people think, it makes people ponder and say, you know what, maybe I was looking at things differently and I can look at it James way. I guess that's kind of my hope. I kind of hope for people to understand me and, you know, instead of saying, well, Jay's just a nut and he's off his rocker and we should put him in an asylum. I already am in an asylum. Look at me. I live in the United States of America with a bunch of people. That's enough of an asylum for anybody. But they'd like to put me away somewhere where I'm not going to hurt anybody. I'm not going to do that because I want to stay with my family. It's hard to know what to do with that kind of innovation. And so a lot of the established ways to get this stuff done aren't interested in that. You have to do things that they think are going to make them $1 million. And if they're not sure it's not going to make them $1 million, they're not going to take the risk either. I think that's one of the great problems with the way things have gone. Things are so institutionalized. Things are so now big that small things are practically irrelevant. If you were to start a car company now, even if it was a superior car company, you would be very hard-pressed to compete adequately with the big car companies. And you could say that it was because you were small, but that isn't necessarily all there is to it. The thing to be concerned about the most in all this stuff is the fact that smallness is shut out. you know, niche groups, if there were a possibility to destroy innovation, big companies would probably like to do that. Of course, that would only be true if they had a monopoly, but they all wish they had that too. Look at Microsoft, for instance. Look at Microsoft Windows. There's not a lot of innovation in Microsoft Windows because nobody's trying to throw another operating system up against it. Everybody uses Windows XP. There's a few people that use Linux, but by and large, you're going to have at least one computer in your house that uses Windows XP, if nothing else. Excuse me. That's just the way it is. They've got the monopoly on it. Now, they innovate on some things, like they'll suck features into their operating system to kill off a competitor. I can think right off the hand with Windows XP, they sucked in zip compression. They made it part of their operating system. Now you don't have to buy a zip compressor anymore. You know, WinZip, the company that pretty much had dominated the market in zip technology, it's gone. It's not there anymore. And it was just taken out because everybody said, well, why do I need to buy this thing when I can get it for free along with the Windows operating system? That's kind of what's happening now. People who have cornered the market on certain things, their whole purpose is to keep that market cornered. Microsoft doesn't have to worry because they have no serious competition. People could say Linux was, but Linux isn't competition. They're not trying specifically to go out and destroy Windows. It's a very different kind of thing. It has nothing to do, honestly, with Windows. It's not there. Well, I'm going to go and eat. I hope they have the lunch buffet. It looks like they do. Yeah, it says lunch buffet, $4.99. Okay, so I'm going to come here and I'm going to eat some food. And we're going to stop this MP3 broadcast. I don't think we'll get back to it. I get concerned that innovation is dying out, at least as a commercial venture. But I see a lot of good innovation in the way people think. It's still out there. I think fewer people are doing it. I think a lot of people used to do it more often. But now they've stopped. They don't do it anymore. This is Quasi-Indefatigable's Analyst. I'm Jay Nemiro. I'm going to go eat lunch because I'm tired. I'm hungry. And I hope you have a good day. Try hard not to just get sucked into the sordid world of just doing what institutions do. Don't be a default person. Be your own person. Have a good day. Bye.